Parshas Vayera. Avraham Avinu made it his goal in life to serve Hashem in the best possible way. He loved Hashem with his whole heart, and he did everything he could to teach the world about Hashem. Yitzchak and Yaakov have also followed the ways of Abraham. And that's why we call Hashem Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, VeElokei Yaakov. The God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. Because it was they who spent all of their lives serving Hashem and teaching others to serve Hashem. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called the Avos, the fathers of all the Yidden. They were such great tzaddikim. They never took their minds off Hashem. They never stopped thinking about Hashem, even while they were working. The work was done only with their hands, while their thoughts did not depart from Hashem even for a single moment. Avraham, who was blessed with great riches and wealth, used all of his money for the purpose of letting people know about Hashem. Avraham once asked Shem, the son of Noach, "Tell me, in which schus, which merit, did Hashem keep you alive in the Teva?" "Oh, we survived because of our tzedakah." "What does that mean? There were no poor people with you in the Teva." "I'm talking about the tzedakah that we did for the animals. Yes, we stayed awake entire nights giving them food." If this is so, Avraham thought, how much more important is it to feed people? For this purpose, Avraham planted a beautiful orchard in Be'er Sheva. Right there, Avraham built up his tent. And his tent had four openings from every direction that the tired and weary guests should be able to come straight into his tent from any direction that they are coming. They shouldn't have to go around looking for the entrance. From all sides of his tent, there was an entrance. And any guest who would come would be welcome there to be in the tent and to rest and to have as much as refreshments as they liked. Soon the word spread that a wonderful man had opened a free-for-all hotel in the desert. The guests streamed from far and near and enjoyed their meal, and thanked Avraham, and got up to leave. Avraham said to them, "You must say a bracha. You have to bench after your meal. Say, Baruch she'achalnu mishalai uvetuvei chayinu. Blessed be the master of the universe, of whose goodness we have eaten."
"We don't want to say this blessing. Who is this master of the universe?"
"Ah, so if you don't want to bench, you may do as you please, but then you'll have to pay me for the meal."
Well, then how much does it cost?"
"A bottle of wine? 10 gold pieces. A steak? 10 gold pieces. A loaf of bread? 10 gold pieces.
"What? This is far too expensive."
"Please tell me," Avraham asked them, "what is the price of bread when you get in the middle of a midbar? Where else are you able to get wine or meat in this place, which is just an empty midbar?"
"Huh, you're right. Well, who is that master whom you asked us to thank? Let us bless him."
And by this, through Hachnasas Arachim, hospitality, Avraham was able to teach more and more people Tens of thousands of people began serving Hashem. Avram's wife, Sarah, was just as much devoted to spreading the truth in the world by teaching the women. As long as Sarah was alive, the doors of the tent were always wide open. In her schus, the cloud of the Shechina rested above the tent. The candle she lit on Erev Shabbos was never put out. It burned for the entire week. And the food in the house was blessed with a special bracha that it was always a lot and plenty of food. Now it was on the third day after Avraham had his bris milah. Avraham felt very weak, and the pains were very much. Well, it's understood, a man of 99 years old who just had a bris, there was a lot of pain that came along with it for the next few days. But Kindalach, I want you to know, Abraham's mind was not thinking about the pain. You know what bothered Abraham? He was worried. How is it that no one has come to my tent during the past 2 days? He thought. Are the guests not coming for me because I had a bris milah? Deeply worried at the thought that he might have no guests, Avram sent out his servant Eliezer to look out for travelers. Eliezer came back, but all alone. Then Avram himself sat down in front of his tent to see if he might notice some passersby. The heat of the day was almost unbearable. Hashem had brought out some of the sweltering heat of Gehenim. It came to this world in order to help Avraham. Hashem said, hot air will make Avraham's pain a little less. At the same time, it would also save Avraham from the hard work of having to help and take care of guests, since the hot weather would not let anyone travel on the roads. But on seeing Avram suffering because he wasn't able to do the mitzvah v'achnasas arachim, Hashem, turning to the malachim, said, we ourselves will come to visit Avraham. The purpose of this visit was two things. First of all, bikur chaylim, to visit a sick man, and at the same time, a chance for Avraham to do hachnasas arachim. Yes, Hashem himself appeared to Avram to visit the sick. In fact, it is from here that we learn the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim, visiting a sick person. When Avraham saw the Shechina above him, Avraham wanted to get up. But Hashem said to him, remain seated. The way you're sitting now will also show something that's going to be in the future. Just as you sit now while the Shechina stands above you, so will your children, the Yidden, enter the shuls and the Beis HaMedrash and read the Shema while they are sitting, while I will stand above them. Avram lifted his eyes and noticed three men standing in the distance. To Avraham, they looked like plain, ordinary men. They were really the three malachim that Hashem sent to Avraham. Avraham thought, let me speak to them. If the Shekhinah will not leave while I turn my attention to these people, I'll be sure that they are great people and Hashem wants me to invite them. The three men who really were malachim stood still at a distance and did not come close. When they saw how Avraham loosened and retied his bandages, obviously in pain from the bris milah, the three people turned to leave. Avraham begged the Shekhinah, please, my master, wait for me until I do the mitzvah v'achnasas arachim. Avraham ran towards them, using the entrance of the tent that was closest to the men. Avraham ran to them and bowed down. Please, my master, Avram said, to the middle of the three, who Avram thought must be in the middle because he's the most important one. In fact, it was the Malach Michael to whom Avram spoke. And on both sides of him, on one side was Gavriel, on the other side, Raphael. Avram said to him, please do not depart from your servant. You must be tired from your trip. It is not the right time to continue your trip. We have water and a pleasant shade. Let me request that someone bring a little water to wash your feet. Why did Avram want them to wash their feet? Well, these Arabs, Avram thought, most probably worship the dust of their feet like a getchka. And I don't want an object of idol worship brought into my house. Let me only bring you a little bread, Avram begged his guests. And then you may continue on your journey after you have refreshed yourselves. Yes, that's the way tzaddikim are. They promise a little and do much, while the rishayim make big promises and don't even keep a little drop of it. All Avram promised the guests was a little bread. But later he served them a meal fit for a king, for which he shechted 3 oxen and used 9 measures of flour. He also served them butter and milk. How do the tzaddikim know that that's the way you're supposed to be, that you must promise a little and do much more? Because they see that Hashem does this himself. When Hashem said and promised that he would judge and punish the Mitzrayim at the end of the Golos, Hashem said to Avram, V'gam es agoy asher yavoidu danonechi, and also the nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, I will punish them. Now when Hashem said he will punish them, Hashem used the word dan. Dan has only 2 letters, Dalid and a Langanun. But later, Hashem didn't give them just a small punishment like the word dan. Hashem brought 10 makas upon the Mitzrayim. Tzaddikim learned from this, and that's the way a Yid should always be. And Moir Ma'at Va'aseh Harbei. Promise just a little and do much more. Since Avram was a great man, the Malachim did not consider it proper to say no to Avram's invitation. They answered Avram, do as you said. Avram prepared a royal banquet for his guests. He ran to Sarah's tent and told her, hurry and get 3 measures of flour to bake matzahs.
What kind of flour, Avram?
Take the best. Use fine flour for the dough. Avram was so excited to fulfill the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim that he didn't stop running from the moment he had received the guests until they were fully cared for. After having run out to meet them and having hurried to Sarah's tent, he now ran again to get 3 calves because he wanted to serve them 3 tongues with mustard. One of the calves, which Avram wanted to shecht, ran away, and Avram followed it. The calf drew him all the way to Hebron and disappeared in a cave. Avram entered the cave and suddenly felt something very special in this cave. The sweet smell of Gan Eden that filled the air. Avram saw a light shining, and he saw with Ruach HaKodesh that Adam and Chava were buried there. Avram heard voices of Malachim calling out and saying, Adam is buried here. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will rest here also. Avram then understood that this cave was the entrance to Gan Eden. And since then, Avram desired this place. Avram called his son Yishmael in order to train him in the mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim. Avram said to him, prepare the calves for the guests. Avram brought cream and milk and invited his son Yishmael
and the students Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre to sit down in the hut which he had erected. Now I want you to know, Kindelach, after the Yidden sinned by the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, the Malachim said to Hashem, "Didn't we warn you not to give the Yidden the Torah?" Hashem answered, "The Yidden, they observe the Torah better than you do. Even a little child coming home from school is told by his mother to wash his hands if he ate fleishiks, and then he asks for milk. But when you visited Avraham, he brought you milk and meat, and you ate both together." But I want you to know, Kindelach, that Rashi tells us that Avraham did not serve the milk and the meat together. Avraham first served them the milk, the milachiks, which was ready first, and later on he served them the fleishiks, the meat. Now where was Avraham himself during the meal? He stood and served his guests. And of course, Kindelach, Malachim did not need the food, but still, even though Malachim do not need food, but they still ate at this meal in honor of Avraham. This shows us, Kindelach, how great is the reward of chesed, of kindness. Avraham was so kind to the Malachim, and he gave them food, even though they really didn't need it, and still Hashem rewarded Avraham for this great mitzvah. Hashem paid back Avraham midah keneged midah, a measure for a measure. In the schus of Avraham, Hashem gave all the Yidden in the Midbar the man, and the well of Miriam for drinks, and the slav, the quails, and the clouds of glory, the anane hakavid. So if giving someone who does not really need your help, and you give him food, you're so rewarded, just imagine if someone does kindness to another who really is in need of it, how much greater his reward will be. The Malachim asked Avraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" "She is in the tent, in her oihel," Avraham answered. "You should know then," said Malach Michael, "that as a reward, she will be worthy of having Einaklech, grandchildren who will serve as Kohanim Gedolim in the Oihel Moed." That's in the Mishkan. The Malach made a mark in the wall and announced, "When the sun will hit this mark, Sarah will have a baby." Yes, in the olden days, people would tell time not by a clock, but by looking on the shadow that would be made by the movements of the sun. And as the sun would move across the sky, the shadow would move, and by that, we were able to tell when is each hour of the day. And this is what the Malach said, that next year, when the sun would hit this mark, Sarah will have a baby. Now Sarah had listened to the conversation from the tent. Sarah could just not believe that she would be able to have a baby. "Is it possible that an old woman like me should have a child? And my master, my husband Avraham, is old." Hashem said to Avraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby in my old age?'" Hashem changed Sarah's words when he said it over to Avraham. Sarah said that "my husband is old," but Hashem did not say to Avraham that she said so, that Avraham is old, in order that Avraham should not get upset with her. This teaches us how important it is to always make peace, always make shalom between husband and wife and between friends. Sometimes it's necessary to change a little bit the words in order not to cause arguments, not to cause one to be upset on another, but rather to always stay good friends in peace. Hashem said to Avram,
Is anything too difficult for me? At the set time, Sarah will have a son. A man once came to the watchmaker, pulling out of his pocket a broken watch.
I don't think you will be able to fix this. The whole spring is rusty and has to have a new one.
The watchmaker laughed. Ha! I was the one who made this watch in the first place. I put all the pieces together, and I put in the spring very carefully to make it work. Do you think that I'm unable to fix this up? The same thing Hashem said to Avram. I'm the one who created everyone. Do you think then that I won't be able to make her young again, that she should be able to have a baby? Avraham asked Sarah why she had laughed. But she denied it because she was afraid. When the Malachim left, Avram accompanied his guests according to his usual custom. Now that Malach Michael finished and completed his mission to tell Sarah the good news about Yitzchak who's going to be born, Malach Michael now left the other two Malachim and went back to the Shemayim. Malach Raphael and Malach Gavriel continued on their journey, traveling towards Sedaim. Malach Gavriel was instructed that his job is to destroy Sedaim and all the towns around it, while it was Raphael's job to save light from their ruins. For what reason did Hashem decree that Sodom should be destroyed? The Torah tells us, Ve'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la'Hashem ma'id. The men of Sodom were very bad and sinful before Hashem. The same was true not only for the city of Sodom, but for the four cities surrounding Sodom, Amora, Adma, Tzvayim, and Tzoyar. But Sodom was singled out since it was the capital of the five cities. The people of these cities were murderers and did many, many bad sins and went against Hashem. The things that they did were just like the people before the Mabul. What made these people become so bad? The people of Sodom were the richest in the whole world since Sodom had a very special thing. The ground in Sodom was very rich, very good ground. And whenever you would plant anything in Sodom, it would grow out quickly and very, very delicious. Moreover, it had a lot of gold and silver and precious stones in the ground. When a Sodomite sent a servant to his backyard to pull out a vegetable, he used to find gold in the earth underneath. Now they got richer and richer, and they enjoyed their riches so much, but they did not thank Hashem. Rather, the opposite. The more they got rich, the more they put their trust in their riches and forgetting about Hashem. Now, the people in Sodom were very selfish. And they were very worried. Who knows what's going to happen to our riches if some people from other cities come here? They were very worried and afraid of strangers, so they did not allow any strangers come into their country. And they didn't let anyone make use of their own good things, like their fruits, their vegetables, even the birds. The Sodomim did not want to let the birds eat fruits from the trees. So all the trees that were growing outside by the streets, if there were any fruit trees, the Sodomim would ruin the roots of these trees in a way that no fruits can grow on them, in order that the birds should not be able to enjoy any of the fruits. The Sodomim had four rules. The first rule was, any stranger found in this country may be robbed of his money and treated very bad. The second rule was, It is the job of the judge of Sodom to make sure that every traveler leaves this country without a penny. Number three, anyone found handing food to a poor person in Sodom or to a stranger will be put to death. Number four, anyone who invites strangers to a chasana, to a wedding, will be punished by having all his clothes removed from his body. These were the four rules that were the laws of Sodom. Now you can understand and you can imagine why the Torah calls them Ra'im v'chatahim, that they were sinful and they were very bad. Once Eliezer, the servant of Avram, happened to pass through Sodom. When walking in the street, he was attacked and beaten by some Sodomim until Eliezer started to bleed. Eliezer went directly to the judge, that the judge should punish these people.
"What happened?" asked the judge.
"What happened? This man hit me and beat me up and he made me bleed."
"All right, this is a clear-cut case. You have to pay him right away for making you bleed."
"What? I have to pay him for making me bleed?"
"Yes, it's like a doctor. Some people go to a doctor when they have some blood in their body that has to be let out, and he did it for you. So you have to pay him like you pay a doctor."
Eliezer did not wait another moment. He took a stick and beat up the judge until the judge began to bleed. Then he said to the judge,
Now you owe me money for making you bleed. So instead of paying me, you can give it straight to the other fellow."
When it came nighttime, the Sodomim invited Eliezer to rest in one of their guest beds. Now the Sodomim had special beds for guests. In the middle of the night, when the guest was asleep, they came with a knife. If the guest was very tall and his feet stretched out over the bed, they cut off his feet to make it fit the bed. If the guest was a very short man and was shorter than the bed, they stretched his feet and pulled it until it would reach the end of the bed, even if it meant pulling out his feet. They asked Eliezer, "Please, enjoy one of our guest beds. Come here and sleep on one of our beds." Eliezer did not accept their offer. Eliezer said to them, "I am sorry, but I am unable to accept your invitation. Since the day of my poor mother died, I promised never to lie down upon a bed again." Eliezer had not eaten all day long, since they didn't want to even sell him any food for money. That day there was a wedding in Sodom, and Eliezer followed the crowd and sat down at the end of a table. The law was that anyone who invited strangers to a wedding was punished by having all his clothes taken off from him. People noticed the stranger and asked him,
"Who invited you to this wedding?"
The guy over there," Eliezer answered, pointing at the one sitting next to him. The guy sitting next to him got so frightened, and quickly he left, because he was afraid that they'll believe Eliezer and take off his clothes for inviting Eliezer. Eliezer then changed his place, and when they asked him, "Who invited you?" he pointed at the guy next to him. And he repeated the same thing until all those around him had left their seats empty, and the table was empty and with a lot of food. Eliezer then sat down comfortably and ate up a delicious meal. The people of Sodom took turns taking care of the cows and the animals of all the people of the city. And they made a rule: whoever owns one ox must watch everyone's animals one day. Someone who owns no oxen must watch everybody's animals for 2 days.
If someone from Sodom would set up a row of bricks as a landmark to know where his field ends and the next person's field begins, he would soon find that all of the bricks had disappeared because each of the townspeople had taken one until there was none left. The same thing would happen if someone would spread out onions or garlic on the ground to dry. There was soon none left, since every one of the townspeople snatched only one. Once happened that a man from Elam was on a journey. He took along a donkey and tied to its back an expensive, colorful carpet. As the sun set, he passed Sodom and had to look for a place to sleep overnight, but no one invited him. Finally, a sly and evil Sodomi by the name Hedar came over to him and said,
"Hey, who are you?"
I have come from Hebron, and I'm on my way home to go back to Elam. And the sun has already set, and I must stay in the city overnight, but no one lets me into his house. I have food for myself and for the donkey. All I need is just a place to sleep.
Come into my house. I invite you to eat with me also.
The guest came in, and he gave Hedar his expensive carpet to put away for him. The guest ate and also fed his donkey. The next morning, the guest wanted to leave, but Hedar insisted that he should stay another day. He agreed. He ate more meals and stayed there again overnight. The next morning, when the guest said that he wants to leave, Hedar again talked him into staying another day. On the third day, the guest insisted that he must leave. "Give me my carpet and the rope to tie it to the donkey, and let me go."
"What do you mean?" asked Hedar.
I mean the colorful carpet that I gave you to put away for me when I came to your house."
"The colorful carpet? Yes, I will tell you what your dream is all about. I'll explain you the meaning of your dream. The rope about which you dreamt means that you will live a long life on earth, just like the rope is long. And the colorful carpet that you dreamt about, that means that you're going to have a beautiful vineyard, and you'll plant over there all types of trees."
"I didn't dream when I gave you the carpet and the rope. I was awake."
"Why do you complain? Didn't I give you a nice explanation of your dream? Now you owe me 4 gold pieces for my brilliant explanation, but I will only ask you for 3. The man shouted and stamped his feet, saying,
"Let's go to the judge."
They came before the Sodom judge, and Hedar explained to the judge that his guest had had a dream about a rope and a beautiful, colorful carpet, while the man claimed that he had been awake. The judge decided, "Hedar is famous in the town to be able to interpret dreams, so he is the best interpreter for your dream."
"No, but I gave him the rope and the carpet by day."
"Not true," said Hedar. "You owe me 4 gold pieces for my interpretation, plus the full price for all the meals that you ate in my house." When the guest complained, the judge said that the stranger should be thrown out of the court. And all the people of the city of Sodom got together, and the man was shouted at and thrown out of the city while he cried bitterly. Now Lot's daughter, Plaitis, was married to a Sodomi. Once she noticed a starving beggar in the city streets, and she had pity on him. She hid some bread in the jar which she used to take to the well to get water. On the way to the well, she would hand the food secretly to the poor person. The people of Sodom wondered, "How is it that this poor person is still alive? Someone must be feeding him food." So they secretly watched this beggar They stood from the distance to watch who is giving food to this poor person. And they found out that he was secretly given bread by Lot's daughter. The law was that someone who gave food to the poor was to be burnt. The Gemara tells us the girl's end was like this. They strung her up to the tree and smeared her body with honey and left her there until the bees stung her to death. The girl cried out, "Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, see what they are about to do to me and punish these people of Sodom." Her cries reached the heavenly throne. Hashem said, "I shall descend to judge their deeds. They deserve to be destroyed for the terrible sin they did against this girl." Hashem and a Beis Din, a court of 71 malachim, came down to judge the city and decided to destroy it. Now, the overthrow of Sodom didn't happen suddenly without a warning. 25 years before it was destroyed, Hashem made earthquakes to send tremors and shaking throughout the whole country in order to awaken the people to do teshuvah. But they didn't take any notice of these warnings from Hashem. Before Hashem destroyed Sodom, Hashem first spoke to Avraham about it. This was, as you remember, while Avraham was busy serving a meal to the guests. The Shechina had been waiting for him at the entrance of his tent. Finally, Avraham dismissed the malachim. Hashem then spoke to him, telling him about Sodom, that it's going to be destroyed. Why did Hashem tell Avraham? Well, the city of Sodom, Kinelach, is part of Eretz Yisrael. And since Hashem gave Avraham the whole land, Hashem said, "I cannot hide from Avraham what I'm about to do. I must let him know about the punishment that will happen to Sodom. I have given Avraham the whole land. I have no right to destroy 5 big cities without his permission. Also, his nephew Lot, who lives there, will only be saved if Avraham prays for him." There was yet another reason why Hashem wished to let Avraham know about the punishment of Sodom. He knew that Avraham was disturbed and felt upset why the Mabul came to destroy all the people of the world. Avraham thought, "Is it possible that there were absolutely no tzaddikim among them? Now Hashem wants to show Avraham that Sodom had no tzaddikim at all, and that Hashem will punish them only because they're all Rishayim." As soon as Avraham had heard the news that Hashem wants to destroy Sodom, Avraham prepared himself to daven. "Ribbono shel Olam," he argued, "there must be some tzaddikim among them. Why then do you not save all the cities in the schus of the tzaddikim? Instead, you do the opposite. You destroy the tzaddikim together with the rishayim. Why should light be destroyed and killed together with those rishayim? This will bring a real chilul Hashem. People would say that this is what Hashem always does, to destroy tzaddikim and rishayim together. This is the way Hashem did by the Mabul. This is what Hashem did by the Dar HaFlaga when they built a tower. Why do you judge the world only with justice, just with din? If you're not going to be merciful and have rachmanis, there will be no more world. Is it not possible that 50 tzaddikim could be found in all 5 cities? If so, should not the people of all the 5 cities be saved in the schus of the 50 tzaddikim found among them?" Hashem answered to Avram, "If I will find 50 tzaddikim in all the 5 cities, all the 5 cities will be saved in their schus." Avram continued to daven, saying, "I am just dust and ashes. How dare I argue with you, Hashem? I would have returned to dust if Amraphel would have killed me in the war. And I would have been turned into ashes if Nimrod would have burned me in the furnace. I'm only alive because of your great mercy. Let me ask you, Hashem, is it possible that there may be 5 tzaddikim less than 50 in these cities? If there are only 45 tzaddikim, could you not save all the cities in their schus? Since there will be 9 tzaddikim for each of the 5 cities, and you, Hashem, will join them to make 10 tzaddikim in each city. Hashem answered, if I should find 45 tzaddikim among them, I will forgive all the cities in their schus. Avraham continued, maybe there are 40 tzaddikim to be found, at least save 4 cities in their schus. Hashem agreed. Avraham continued to beg Hashem, if there were 30 tzaddikim, 3 cities of the 5 should be saved in their schus. And if there were only 20 tzaddikim, at least 2 cities should be saved. Finally, Avraham asked, if there are only 10 tzaddikim, let 1 city be saved in the schus of these 10. When Avraham heard from Hashem that there were not even 10 tzaddikim among the entire people of the 5 cities, Avraham prayed no further. Why didn't Avraham continue to daven that at least 1 city should be saved, even if there were less than 10 tzaddikim? Well, Avraham said to himself, in the time of the Mabul, there were 8 tzaddikim, Noach, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives, altogether 8. But still, their schus was not enough to save the whole world. It seems like any number less than 10 cannot save others. Avraham thought that there must be at least 10 tzaddikim in Sodom, Lot and his wife, his 4 daughters, and the 4 husbands of his daughters. But he was told by Hashem that there were not 10 tzaddikim because the husbands of Lot's daughters were not tzaddikim. As soon as Avraham had no more to say, Hashem departed. The 2 malachim, who were malachim of mercy, of rachamim, and they did not go right away to Sodom, hoping that Avraham would find a way of saving the cities of Sodom. But now that Avraham finished, they continued on their way to Sodom to destroy it.